I want to pray that the Lord would bless us, if it be His will to bless us with rain, and pray that the Lord would bless those that are getting too much rain. There's other parts of the country that are flooding right now, and certainly want to look to Him as we see all of these needs around us, and ask that you would pray for me. I think maybe what happened is I swallowed probably too many gnats down in South Georgia yesterday, and maybe that's affecting my voice a little bit too, but ask that you would pray for me this morning. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn back to Jonah this morning, if you will. We'll speak for a little while this morning, again from the book of Jonah. And the subject that has continued to be on my mind since the last time that we looked in this book is really kind of what we ended on a couple of weeks ago, and looking at the question that was asked by the shipmaster, the captain of this ship, as they were struggling in the midst of that storm. And remember, we wound up around verse 6, where the captain finds Jonah at the bottom of the ship sleeping and tells him to wake up, and then says for him to call upon his God. He says, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And that's a striking thought. Again, as I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, I believe what we have as a picture for us today as God's people is really a warning for us as disciples. And what a picture this paints. There are those that are the crew of the ship, and if you've ever been around any kind of ships and ship's crew, these are rough and tough people, and sometimes they're crusty individuals, but we have them here in the midst of this storm, and they're calling out to their gods, and the captain, who was probably the toughest of them all, now he's in a panic, and he asks that question that's relevant to Jonah and implies that question. You call out to your God, and perhaps he'll think upon us. And the overarching question is you know, does God care about us? And we ended the message a couple of weeks ago looking at the answer to that, that as we understand the Word of God and we understand the truth of God's Word, we definitely see that we serve a God who does care about us, who is concerned with His people. And there's really two things here. He's concerned with His people. We see that the Lord's going to bless in an extraordinary way, but we also need to consider as well that the Lord is concerned about how His people act, about how they behave. And we see all of this going on in the midst of this storm. And we see, well, we understand the story of Jonah. And again, want to remember the overarching principle is not about Jonah and what happened to Jonah, but it's about our God whose will be done. And Brother David mentioned it at the end of the message a couple weeks ago, this is big God theology. You know, this is a narrative. I believe it was written by Jonah, and it's a narrative of the events that happened in his life. And I figured that it was probably sometime after this occurred that he was inspired by God to write all of this down. But we see the hand of God all throughout this process. We see the disobedient servant Jonah. God tells him he's to go to the Ninevites and speak to them. He goes in the exact opposite direction. He tries to run away from God. He's not able to run away from God. God causes this storm, and we see that Jonah is the reason that the storm is there. They throw him overboard, and we ended at verse 16 of Jonah chapter 1. In verse 17 it says this. It says, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. A lot of people, they stop at that verse and they have a lot of questions. How on earth can this happen? How on earth can a fish swallow a man? Well, again, we need to understand that this is big God theology, and our God in His sovereign power, according to His sovereign majesty, He can cause a fish to swallow a man. Now biologically speaking, there are great fish out there in the sea. I remember studying in middle school about the great whales, You know, there's a couple of humongous whales out there that we hear periodically about just because of their size and their majesty. I think about the sperm whale. The sperm whales can get up to 59 feet long and weigh over 50 tons. That is a big whale, but there's another whale that's a lot bigger than that out there in the depths of the sea. It's called the blue whale. Now, this blue whale can get up to 100 feet long. Now, you think about 100 feet long. That's an incredible size. And they can weigh up to 200 tons. Those that have studied these whales, and I guess somebody has looked, says that the whale, these blue whales, their tongues can get the size of an elephant. So there are those great fish out there. But the overarching principle is that God is able, and the Bible says here that the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. That speaks of the power of our God. He's in control of all things. And we see all of this occurs because of this disobedience in Jonah's life. Now, one of the questions that I want to revisit again, and it's a tough question for us that we don't, or a tough fact in the history of God's Word, is that God does indeed cause storms in the lives of His people from time to time. We need to understand that. Now, I understand sometimes we suffer in our lives because of the poor decisions of others. Sometimes we suffer just because of the fact that we live in a sin-cursed earth, but we cannot deny the reality that there are storms that come in our lives because of our disobedience. I'm thankful that we see in Jonah chapter 1 that God is gracious even in the midst of those storms, but they happen. That is what happened with Jonah here. Jonah turned away from God and disobeyed God. God said, you're going to go one direction. He goes the exact opposite direction, tries to run away, tries to flee, the Bible says, from the presence of the Lord. And God causes this storm to happen. We need to understand that some of the storms that we have in our lives is because we are not walking in the will of God, because we're not following God's commandments. And when we understand our human nature, it should be easy for us to understand that there are times when we think that we can do better than God. But that's the flesh. But we ought to be thankful when the storms come that draw us back unto God. So Jonah here at the end of chapter 1, he chronicles that the Lord had prepared this great fish to swallow him up. And the Bible says he was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of this great fish. And that brings us into Jonah chapter 2. And I want us to look at a few things from Jonah chapter 2 that ought to make us thankful for the storms that come in our lives. Now, I don't think that we should just be excited about all the difficulties, all the trials, and all the troubles, but we ought to be thankful when the storms come, because there's a wonderful blessing for us as God's people. And the Bible teaches us that our Heavenly Father, He loves us so much that He's faithful to chasten us, as a loving father does chasten their children. You know, when our children deviate from the things that are right, from the things that are honoring to God, we chasten them in the natural sense, don't we? There's times when it's appropriate to provide discipline to a child. Now, as a father, I don't do that because I get some kind of pleasure out of that. It's because, I heard you back there, Ashley. We don't get pleasure out of that. But we do it because we're commanded as stewards of children, as those that God has blessed us with, to chasten, to let that one that we love know what's the right way. And God's the ultimate Father, and He chastens us. And this was what was going on. So a few things. First of all, I want you to notice as we go into Jonah chapter 2, I want you to see, first of all, that one of the blessings of the storm is that it brings us as God's people back to an attitude of prayer. What we'll notice at the very beginning of Jonah chapter 2, the Bible says, "Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly." Now, in this narrative, this is the first time that we see the prophet, the man of God, praying. You would like to see it at the very beginning when God speaks to Jonah and says that you go and cry against Nineveh because their wickedness has come up before me. It'd been nice to see right there where Jonah says, well, let's talk about this a little bit, God. Let's pray about it a little bit. But nowhere does it indicate that Jonah ever stopped and besought the Lord for guidance in this matter. He went and immediately did his own thing, and that was doing the opposite of what God had commanded him to do. And as things literally go downhill, do we ever find Jonah praying? No, Jonah goes into the bottom of the ship. He's not going to the bottom of the ship to find a quiet place to pray. He goes and he takes a nap. And again, what a relevant testimony to where we find ourselves today as God's people on many occasions when the storms are around us. Instead of praying, what do? We try to seek some other escape. Jonah says here, I'm just going to take a nap and forget about it all. And we see even as things were getting more and more dire, where this ship was about to go down, you notice the pagans were even praying during this time. These crusty sailors, they were praying unto their gods. They got religion in the midst of that storm. They were praying, and the captain finally comes down and chides Jonah that's in the ship sleeping and says, you need to start talking to your God, and perhaps he'll spare us from this. And we go on. We see all of this transpire. And even in the midst of Jonah acknowledging that this is the Creator God. Even in the midst of these crusty sailors getting, honing in their theology on the sovereignty of God. We don't see Jonah praying until he's in the belly of that whale. My friends, it's my experience that many times in my life and just observing the lives of individuals who have gone a difficult direction, generally the first thing to go in an individual's spiritual life when they're straying away from God, straying away from the things of God, is prayer. Prayer is the easiest thing that we can do. We have instant accessibility to God, but how many times do we just neglect to do it? And that was what we don't see Jonah ever praying in chapter 1. But what we do see is as he goes on in chapter 2, his prayer life gets a whole lot better, doesn't it? He says, Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. Storms are not pleasant. Storms can bring nightmares into our lives, but I'm thankful that storms draw us closer unto God. Notice what he says in verse 2. And this is just Jonah's prayer. He said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord. The word affliction here literally means to be squeezed tight. And I think there's a physical part of this. He was swallowed by a whale. I don't think the whale's belly was like this sanctuary in here. There was a physical squeezing that was going on in the midst of his trial. But also there was a squeezing in. I believe at this point Jonah truly understood that he had disobeyed God. And this was the judgment of God. And I think it's very similar to what the psalmist David says in Psalm chapter 118 when he talks about the Lord hearing him in his afflictions. David was squeezed from time to time. Now, Jonah is saying here, I cried by reason of mine afflictions. Storms, as they squeeze us spiritually in our lives, they draw us back unto God. They should draw us back unto God. So I ask you the question this morning, what's squeezing you? what kind of pressures do you have in your life? I'll say whatever pressures you have, they ought to draw you back unto God. And again, we see the grace of God all throughout these pages here. Jonah just blatantly disobeyed God. He went the opposite direction that God had sent him to. But now we see him praying unto the Lord. You're being squeezed this morning. Maybe it's the squeeze of a crisis in your home, a family crisis that you're going through. Maybe it's stress and tribulations at work. Maybe you're going through some physical crisis, or you're being squeezed because you're grieving the loss of a loved one. The remedy is for us to turn to God in the midst of those trials and difficulties. Because notice what happens. He says, verse 2, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Isn't that wonderful to think about? As a child of God, he never leaves us or never forsakes us. You know, our behavior in light of what God has commanded us to do, it can affect our fellowship with God. Our prayer life can be hindered because of our disobedience towards him. The New Testament teaches how we treat our spouses can affect our prayer life. I believe other things can affect our fellowship with God. But he's the faithful Father who chastens us, who puts the rod of correction on us when we need it and draws us back unto him. And what a wonderful blessing. When we cry out unto him, when we're being squeezed, he hears us. The Bible says he heard me. And how deep had Jonah gone at this time? Well, Jonah uses an interesting term here. He says, out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. Remember, Jonah, we see physically this downward spiral that he was going to, but spiritually it was a downward spiral as well. This whale swallowed up Jonah when he was thrown out into the sea, out of that boat, and I believe the whale went down to the bottom of that sea. Now the Mediterranean Sea is a deep sea in some places. There's some places in that sea that goes 3 miles deep. I believe that Jonah was in one of those deep, deep physical pits, but spiritually speaking, he says that he was in the belly of hell. Now, I want you to understand, there is a hell on this earth when folks are disobedient towards God. Now, we believe in an eternal hell. We believe that that there is a place that those that know not God will go someday. The Bible teaches that. But Jonah was speaking here about a hell on earth because of the storm in his life. Now I want to tell you, we can get to that place sometimes as the Lord's people. He called it the belly of hell. But again, did he go too far that God couldn't find him where he was? You know, even in the depths of the sea, miles and miles down, God heard his cry. That ought to encourage us this morning as God's people. You know, we make all kinds of excuses for not praying. Well, I'm not very articulate with how I pray, and I really don't know what to pray for. I get confused when I try to pray. Well, the blessing is God hears those prayers. For us as God's people, we have the mediator, Christ Jesus, that's sitting at the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for us right now. And he can take our feeble petitions. He can take our cries. He can take our pleas unto God in the midst of affliction. And God hears them. And he says that he heard me out of the belly of hell. What a wonderful encouragement this is. He heard Jonah in the midst of his affliction. Notice as he goes on, he says, verse 4, Jonah understood why he was there. Verse 4, he says, then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. This is a message of encouragement for those of us who do stumble along the way. I'm thankful that for God's children, there is no such thing as a hopeless cause. Now, Satan will try to tell us that our cause is hopeless. I believe that Satan has refined the art of whispering in the ears of God's people and saying unto them, why even bother? Look at what you've done. Look at how slothful you've been. Look at how negligent you've been. Look at how disobedient you've been. Jonah teaches us right here. And Jonah was aware of all of the trouble that he had gotten himself into. He says, then I said, I will cast out of thy sight. He says, but yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. In other words, Jonah was saying here, I know that I was disobedient, but you're a faithful and a loving God, a God that's full of mercy. And notice what he goes, verse 5. He says, the waters compass me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. And that physical description of what was going on with him. Can you just imagine physically being swallowed by a whale? That's not a very pleasant thing to think about. And winding up in the belly of some great fish with all the everything else that fish had eaten and all of the gastric juices that were going on in there and all the debris that was coming in. But I think Jonah's greatest distress was not the physical discomfort, but the spiritual discomfort of what he had done. And he says, these weeds were wrapped about my head. I almost wonder if that's some kind of word picture that all of these things were going on in Jonah's mind. Do you ever have guilt over something you've done or something you didn't do? I hope you do as a child of God. When he says, these weeds were wrapped about my head, I can't help but wonder if he was just thinking about all of the decisions that he had made that had gotten him to this point in his life. He was overwhelmed with it all. But again, what does he say in verse 4? He says, yet I will look toward thy holy temple. He saw his need for God. He saw his need to turn back to the one who was the source of his strength, the source of his encouragement, and he makes this prayer. What a wonderful example of prayer. There's some non-examples in Jonah's life, for sure. But Jonah's prayer here, his humble prayer, is one that we should follow as God's people. He says again, I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Going down. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. Jonah was now a praying man once again. And in the midst of our storms, may we rededicate ourselves to crying out unto the one who has saved us, the one who has delivered us, the one who laid down his life for our sins. We see that the storms returned Jonah to a prayerful place in his life. Now what we also see as we go on, we also see from God's word that storms have a way of revealing our hearts toward to us. Because notice what he says in verse 7 as he goes on, we see that this storm kind of cuts away all the pretentiousness that Jonah possibly had. He said in verse 7, he says, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. I don't know about you, but I can make all kinds of excuses about my behavior. You know, I can just justify my actions with the best of them. And I think Jonah probably had this going on in his mind as well as he made the decision to not follow God who had spoken to him. You know, again, I think that Jonah was just very prejudiced against these Ninevites, and there were many of the Jews that had no use whatsoever for the Gentiles, and this group was the worst of the worst, and I think Jonah had all kinds of excuses as to why he shouldn't obey God. I'm not going to do what God just told me to do. These are filthy Gentiles. Do you know what these people have done? Do you know what behaviors they're engaged in? I'm not going to go there. Maybe he said to himself, I'm not going to go and risk being corrupted by this wicked people. You know, I know that you said that their wickedness is great, and God, that I need to go and speak your word to them, but it doesn't make sense. It's not logical. You know, it's really inconvenient, God, for me to do what you said. I'm going to go find a ship and I'm going to go somewhere else. Maybe he said, God, I've been faithful to you previously. Find somebody else to do it. We can make all sorts of excuses for not obeying God. And we can make elaborate excuses. We can make, as far as the world goes, well-reasoned excuses. But when we turn away from God's commandment, they all just fall under the category of excuses. But I want to tell you, when we're in the midst of justifying our behavior, we don't see it. And a lot of times we don't see it until we see the consequences of our actions. And now we have Jonah. I believe Jonah is at that point. He sees himself for who he is. And he says, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. Well, what is that point? That is the point when we see that we have disobeyed the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we're suffering because of that. He said his soul had fainted within him. You know, there's the old Southern saying that sometimes we have to get downwind of ourselves before we really know how bad we stink. Jonah had gotten downwind of himself, and he saw the power and the glory of God, the one that was the God over the storms, the one that was the God over the creatures of the earth, the one that was the Creator God, and his soul fainted. I hope that as we study God's Word, as we sit under the preaching of God's Word, as we sing these hymns that are based on God's Word, that our souls would faint within us to some degree. I hope it's enough that we can have the right perspective. And I tell you, the battle between the flesh and the spirit is that constant battle of having the right perspective. Of moving away from, I'm going to justify what I want to do and I don't care what God says, to the point of, my soul has fainted. I am nothing apart from the grace and the mercy of God. Jonah was there and he says, I remembered the Lord. We truly remember the Lord when we see ourselves for who we are, don't we? He remembered the Lord. And he said, God, you have heard me. And what does he do? Well, we see his devotion turns back towards the Lord. He says, again in verse 7, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came unto thee into thine holy temple. And then notice what he says in verse 8, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. He makes this statement here, and I believe that Jonah was primarily speaking about himself. You know, here at this point in time, I think he was fully honed in on his condition and what he was going through. What does he mean when he says, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy? He says, basically he's saying that we can get our perspectives messed up quickly. We can value the things that are of no value and put no value on the things that are most important. We can mess up our priorities. You know, the Apostle Paul in the New Testament wrote much about this, and I'm thankful for God inspiring the Apostle Paul to teach us this very lesson and many of his epistles. For us as God's people, we need to remember who we are and have a proper perspective of ourselves. Ephesians chapter 2 is one of those chapters that does that. Paul just right off the bat to this letter that he writes to the church at Ephesus and writes to us, says that you're nothing more than dead men. If you want to be humble, think about that. Paul says, you were dead. You were nothing. You had no, and he's speaking of spiritual things here. What he's saying in Ephesians chapter 2 is that we are all spiritually dead as God's people, apart from what Jesus Christ did for us, apart from the work of the Spirit of God in our lives. We're dead. You want a proper perspective of who you are. Ephesians chapter 2, Paul says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. Where did all of our decisions get us? Where did all of our justifying, where did all of our perspective get us as far as God's people, you know, both physically and spiritually? Dead. How do we have any sort of spiritual life? And I believe, how are we even standing and have our being today? Because God was merciful towards us as his people. He says, and you he hath quickened, you he hath made alive who were dead in trespasses and in sins. Well, how bad were we, Paul? Notice what he goes on and says in verse 2. He says, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. You just lived it up according to the way that this world works. He says, and this is what it was, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Jonah was echoing the Apostle Paul's statement when he says again in verse 8, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercies. He's saying here, their perspective is wrong. And as God's people, we have to be so careful with our perspective, because we're inundated by the voices of the world that say, well, I understand what your Bible says, but your Bible is not to be trusted. I understand what you believe God teaches, but that's antiquated. That's not really relevant today. Jonah says, don't do that. Don't listen to the voices of influence around you in the world, but understand that apart from the grace of God, you are nothing. You have nothing. You are doomed. You are condemned. He says, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. The storms that God sends in our lives has this ability to remind us of who we are by our nature, reveals what our heart is apart from the grace of God. But I want you to see also that the storms that come in life also have the ability to draw us back into the service of God. Because notice what happens. We see this as Jonah is still in the belly of the whale, we see Jonah's devotion to God increasing again. What does he say? Verse 9, he says, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. How can you be thankful in the belly of this whale, sitting in all of the debris that was in this whale's stomach, all of the horror of realizing where you are at the depths of the ocean and knowing it was of your own doing? I tell you, it's only by the grace of God. He was thankful. And Paul would tell us in the New Testament as well, as in his letter to the third church at Thessalonica, that in everything we're to give thanks. Jonah was being thankful here, and it wasn't because of his situation. It was because his perspective had shifted and said, God, it's because of your mercy that I just didn't die in this situation here. He says, I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. There's good news for us that stumble along the way, that create these messes in our lives that are of our own doing. That what a wonderful blessing when we turn back to God, and when our perspective shifts, we can be thankful even in the midst of our own messes. And notice what he goes on and says. He says, I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. He's saying here, I'm going to be thankful. And then notice what he says. I will pay that I have vowed. What's Jonah saying when he says, I'm going to pay that I have vowed? He says, I'm going to keep the promise that I should have kept to you to start with, God. And then what does he do? He cries out, salvation is of the Lord. What a wonderful blessing that in the midst of our trials, our God is faithful to bring us to a point of repentance. And even in the midst of the biggest messes that we can create, we have that hope, and we can cry out with a thankful voice, Lord, salvation belongs to you. Deliverance belongs to you. You're the one who's merciful to those who do not deserve it. You're the one who gives grace to those who deserve death, who deserve condemnation. The Bible says Jonah says, salvation is of the Lord. So we have him giving, we have him praying, we have him going. He's saying, now, Lord, I'm going to go and do what you told me to do. I want you to think about this, though. If Jonah would have just done that in Jonah chapter 1 and verse 2, we wouldn't even be in this situation. But he is, but God is gracious, God is merciful unto him. God is gracious and God is merciful unto us. And then the Bible teaches us this. It says, and the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. God spared Jonah. God delivered Jonah. Now it's interesting, there's been scientists that have studied the behavior of some of these giant whales. And some of these whales, I don't know how they did it. It's incredible to me, but they discovered that some of these whales, when they eat something that doesn't agree with them, somehow they figured out these whales get headaches. Well, what do they do when they get headaches? These whales will go out onto the shore, and they'll vomit up whatever was not agreeing with them. Y'all can go eat lunch after this now. But again, this is the work of God. I believe this whale spit out Jonah right where Jonah needed to be to fulfill his task. It says he vomited up Jonah upon the dry land. And what a sight Jonah must have been when he was vomited up from that whale. But we read that he goes and does what God has commanded him to do. I almost wonder the way my imagination works, and maybe it's true, I don't know. I can see Jonah going straight to Nineveh with all of the good stuff that was on him while he was in the belly of that great fish. That would have been startling to those people. Maybe that made an impact on them. Maybe Jonah told them about what just happened to him and that he scared them straight. But either way, we see that he's turned back to the service of God. And as we look, we're not going to go into chapter 3 in depth, but verse 1 of chapter 3 goes right along the lines of what we've seen, the benefits of this storm in the life of Jonah. The Bible says this, and this is one of those verses that you ought to memorize. This is one of those verses that when you're in the midst of your storm, you ought to be able to readily recall it in your mind. But the Bible says this: the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. You want to talk about mercy. You know, I try to think, well, if I would have been God and Jonah would have done that, I would have just consumed him. I'd have just drowned him in the depth of the sea. I'd have just kept him in the belly of that great fish. But our God is a God of mercy. I'm thankful that the Lord sends storms in our lives to wake us up. Jonah was slumbering. I'm afraid that many of us as God's people, we slumber in the midst of all of the chaos around us. And when we should be faithful witnesses in the trials and difficulties, we're asleep at the wheel. That can happen to individuals. That can happen to families. That can happen to churches. We have to be careful not to fall asleep. And we need to be alert. We need to be awake. And when the confusion is going on around us and people are seeking God, they're trying to seek spiritual clarity in the midst of confusion, we should be ready to be that. But if we're not and the storms come, Lord, help us to turn back to the one who is able to deliver us from the storms, who's able to bless us to see ourselves for who we are, and bless us to see what we are apart from Him, and bless us to return to service. The Bible says here, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. That's beautiful, isn't it? Aren't you thankful the Lord does not forsake us as His people? I'm thankful for that in the eternal sense. I'm thankful that as God's children, those that were chosen in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world, that we're secure eternally in Christ Jesus. He's not going to erase our name out of the Lamb's Book of Life. He's not going to say, well, you've done it now, I'm finished with you. But I'm thankful even in the here and now that our God is a God of mercy, that the word of the Lord comes to us the second time. In my case, it's the third time, the fourth time, the fifth time. But I think what we need to learn from Jonah is that we shouldn't be slow learners as God's people. We should strive to serve the one that's delivered us. And what a picture of grace. The word of the Lord comes a second time. Our God is a God of grace. He is a God of mercy. And what we see is Jonah goes and does indeed what God had commanded him to do. You'll see later on his attitude wasn't that great after he did what God commanded him to do. But the grace of God was there. I pray that we as the Lord's people, as we go through the storm. Now here's the thing, storms are going to come. It seems that we go through one storm and we come out of that, and then there's another storm coming from us. Sarah and I were visiting with some folks in St. Augustine a couple of days ago that live on the Anastasia Island there in St. Augustine, and beautiful home out there. We were visiting and complimenting just how beautiful things were out there, and he had mentioned, he said, the last 2 years we've had these storms come that have just flooded and wiped out everything. And we were talking about just that whole scenario. Living in this world, spiritually speaking, is a lot like living on the coast in the hurricane areas. When's the next storm going to come? Well, here it comes. But I'm thankful that we can stand on firm footing in the midst of the spiritual storms of life. Those of our own making, we serve a God of grace. Turn back towards Him. Those that come because of just living in this earth, that's full of sin, and it'll be that way until the Lord returns again. We have the God of grace that gives us strength, gives us what we need for the trial. I'm thankful His word comes unto His disciples the second time, and the third time, and the fourth time. I pray that we as the Lord's people, I pray we would learn the lesson from Jonah and seek the face of the Lord. When we are confronted with the word of God, instead of doing what we want to do, instead of doing what popular culture would want us to do, I pray that we would do what would be pleasing unto God. He'll bless us in that as well. We'll publish an open door to the church this morning. If you've been blessed to see Jesus Christ as your Savior, I encourage you to take up your cross and follow after Him. There's the commandment in God's Word for us to do that. So I want to give you that opportunity. We'll sing this first verse, and then if you want to come around and shake one another's hand, we'll give you that opportunity. We'll sing 154. We'll sing a few verses of 154 and give you that opportunity. You can stand and sing if you'd like. How often